President Biden addressed the nation yesterday to talk about steps he's taking to respond to a rise in COVID-19 cases driven in part by the Omicron variant, now the most common strain of the virus in the U.S. It's a week in Washington. We're looking at the week's top stories in national politics, including yesterday's speech from the White House. Biden reassured vaccinated Americans about their level of safety and outlined the risks for those who haven't gotten their initial vaccinations and booster shots. He also announced that 500 million at-home test kits will be available for free starting in January, and teams of military medical personnel are being dispatched to reinforce hospitals in six states. One of those is Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What was your reaction to the president's speech yesterday? If you watched or listened to it, what do you think of the new steps he announced, his approach to the pandemic in general? What questions were you left with? What would you like to see, if anything, from the federal government on coronavirus response that isn't happening right now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Francesca Chambers is a White House correspondent for McClatchy. Francesca, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
What kind of tone were we hearing from the president in this address yesterday?
Well, the president wanted Americans to know that he understands that they're tired and that they want this pandemic to be over, but realistically, it's just not. And he said that it was frustrating for everyone, and he understands that, and tried to reassure them that the federal government is working hard to combat the current wave of COVID and its surging resources around the country.
There's a lot of focus on the vaccine in his speech, and he did something during his speech yesterday. He hasn't done much bringing up former President Trump. He mentioned that Trump had gotten his booster shot and gave some credit to the previous administration. Here's a listen.
Let me be clear. Thanks to the prior administration and our scientific community, America is one of the first countries to get the vaccine. Thanks to my administration and the hard work of Americans, we led a rollout, made America among the world leaders in getting shots in arms.
So Biden mentioned Trump by name and getting the booster shot, referenced the prior administration. I think a lot of times the references have been along lines of, I'm not keeping track of the former guy. What did you make of that inclusion of the previous administration in this speech?
The White House has acknowledged that it's struggled to reach out to supporters of former President Donald Trump and get them vaccinated. And so it seems now that they've shifted their approach on this message to give credit to the former president who was in office when the vaccine was developed and try to use that as a tool to get unvaccinated Americans who may support him to get vaccinated and also to get boosted as it faces this wave from the new variant.
I mentioned a couple of the practical measures we heard from the president, including issues of hospital capacity and staffing. What kind of things do we hear about that and what the White House is doing to at least try to alleviate that?
The biggest message from the White House now is that Americans who were vaccinated need to get boosted, and that the best way to keep hospitals clear is if Americans are boosted. The message from the president that we heard yesterday is that Americans who are vaccinated and have the booster could still become sick, but they're significantly less likely to face both hospitalization or death if they have the booster.
And then we heard this idea of getting at-home rapid testing to people. We had heard Jen Psaki, the spokesperson for the administration, kind of joking, press secretary, thank you, joking about the idea a while back of, what do you want us to do, send test kits to every American? It sounds like the president is talking about doing something along those lines.
And Jen Psaki has said since then that it was an inartful comment and that we all wish that we had phrased things differently, acknowledging that, because the White House is now setting up a website that it says will be live in January, in which Americans will be able to apply for COVID tests that they can have sent to them. The White House says that it's ordering 500 million rapid tests for Americans to be able to do that, as it does try to find a way to fight this surge, because as the White House's doctors have said and the president's health advisors, that if Americans who are asymptomatic or might have mild symptoms of COVID-19 were able to test when they first started to have the symptoms or knew that they were in close contact with someone who had had COVID-19 several days later, that they could cut down on the spread by testing.
It's our weekly look at some of the top stories in national news. Francesca Chambers is with us, White House correspondent for McClatchy. We are looking right now at the White House response and the president's address yesterday on COVID and the Omicron variant coming up. We'll look at the Build Back Better legislation. Stalled, unsure future. Things look bad for it after Senator Joe Manchin says he won't vote for it. You could join in with your thoughts on either of those topics at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Another key part of the speech, it seems, Francesca, is the president saying, we're not talking about lockdowns. We're trying to keep schools open. What kind of things did he say there?
Right. He said that now students who have been in a classroom with someone else who ended up testing positive for COVID can test to return, essentially. That if they test negative, they can come back to the classroom. That way, schools don't have to shut down. And he had an important message on that, saying that schools should indeed remain open. So that's a very different place than the country was a year ago, or even in March of 2020.
Do you get a sense that the president wants to be focusing on other things, legislative priorities, build back better, but keeps having to come back to COVID because COVID keeps coming back?
And it's when he's talking about the supply chain issues, when he's talking about the student debt relief, even his student debt relief statement today ended with talking about the need for Americans to get vaccinated and to get boosted, because until the country moves on from the pandemic, it will be difficult, as he and his economic advisors have said, to address some of the other problems like inflation that the country is experiencing. Of course, the president also says that if his Build Back Better agenda were to pass, that would also help with inflation too. But it sounds like we're going to get to that in a little bit.
And often President Biden talks about his faith in Americans. He says to take on challenges when they come together. Did he have that kind of, patriotic call to action before we move on from this address from yesterday?
He did, and he said that getting vaccinated is also patriotic, and he called on Americans to really keep the faith of the time when, again, he noted that heading into the holidays, especially that they may be frustrated that at the end of this year, it sometimes feels like things aren't as better as they would like them to be heading into the new year, but again, stressing that America has more tools to fight the pandemic than it did 18 months ago.
We're talking to Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent for McClatchy. It's the week in Washington. In just a minute, we'll look at what's next for the Build Back Better plan after Senator Joe Manchin said he won't support the president's agenda item. We'll have more on Omicron and COVID-19 coming up with an epidemiologist. Right now, you can weigh in on Build Back Better at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to Senator Joe Manchin, the key 50th vote, saying he is not a vote, at least not right now, on Build Back Better? Do you want to see the president and Senator Manchin get together, maybe come up with a new plan? Are you glad to see this plan not passing, at least not for now? There's a lot in it. Drug costs, climate change, child tax credits. Are there parts you want to see advanced on? Do you worry about the costs of the whole thing? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our look at the top stories in national politics. Francesca Chambers stays with us, White House correspondent for McClatchy. Up next, Build Back Better, not moving forward, at least not for now. And you can join in with your reactions to that, your hopes or fears for it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Francesca, Senator Joe Manchin, a key to passing this Build Back Better legislation, spoke on Sunday. What did we hear from him about why he's not ready to move forward on this?
Well, one reason that he's not ready to move forward on this is inflation, as we were talking about earlier in the hour. He also is concerned that Build Back Better will cost more than Democrats originally thought that it would. Why does he think that? Because some of the provisions in Build Back Better that they put in there to sunset within a few years, he believes that ultimately lawmakers will extend those out to a decade. And when you put in the total cost of how long those programs would cost over a decade, it turns out to be much more than Democrats originally said that the bill would cost. So now Manchin is saying that he would like Democrats to come to a conclusion on some of these programs that would be within the original scope, the 1.6 $1.5 to $1.85 trillion that they originally landed on. But that means that they're going to have to pick and choose between a whole host of programs if they want to get it down to that price tag.
Now, on Sunday, I mean, it seemed like this might just be done. But what I keep hearing from people is, if I can quote a movie, so you're saying there's still a chance?
Yes, it's not over until it's over. And even after the White House released a blistering statement from the White House press secretary of negotiations with Manchin, and you heard top progressives on Capitol Hill saying that they essentially felt betrayed in this process, then you heard a little bit of softening from there with the White House saying that they were going to try and move forward, work very hard to get this done, that conversations on this would continue in the new year, and even progressives having some conversations with Manchin and asking him to state clearly what he would support and what he just can't get behind to see if they can find some common ground.
Let's go to our callers at 800-642-1234. Louie is with us in Oconto. Louie, hi.
Yes. One comment I have is that when you have such a low interest rate, now is the time to be borrowing some money, not when the interest rates are high. So things are not that high as far as interest rates. But my main point was with the window shortening on trying to do something about climate change, and it's just not the U.S., but also trying to set an example and lead, because the whole world has to come together with that. I think that is a bad precedent that we're setting that we can't be relied on.
Louis, thanks for the call. Francesca, part of the president's climate change agenda happened in the thing that did pass, that bipartisan-ish infrastructure bill, but there was more, right? Climate change-related material in Build Back Better, that's still not concluded yet, right?
Right. There are some clean energy initiatives in the bipartisan infrastructure law that is already passed and now the federal government is implementing. But as for the Build Back Better agenda, that's right. One of the key sticking points for Manchin is over those climate initiatives. And in the House passed bill, there's $550 billion for climate and clean energy initiatives and a lot of tax credits. But that is one of the difficulties here, including on credits for electric vehicles. And that's one of the things that they're going to have to work out if they're going to move forward on this, either as part of one large bill or as a part of smaller broken up bills.
Thanks for that call, Louie, at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to Mike with us in Shorewood. Mike, hi.
Hey, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I don't have any problem with the price tag on the Build Back Better. And my comments really, if you look at the last two Republican administrations, they put us into serious debt. And really only the uber wealthy benefited from all that tax cut legislation they put together. So why can't we have a bill where we have more equitable debt, I guess I would call it. I don't have a problem of racking up trillions trying to save the environment and, you know, giving people who need aid. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Mike, thanks for that call. And I've heard some comparisons to the price tag on the tax cuts passed, I think, in the first year of the Trump administration. Are we hearing Democrats make that kind of comparison, Francesca?
It was the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that you're referring to that passed with Republican support. And some Democrats are making that comparison. However, President Biden himself has said that he does not want to pass programs that aren't paid for. In fact, one of the White House's biggest pushes on this is that all of it is paid for. They say that it won't end up costing anything. So it would be a pretty big reversal from that language if they move forward in that capacity. This is something that the White House has reiterated recently as it talks about the expanded child tax credit, which is another key provision here. That is something where those expanded payments, those monthly payments that were going out every month, Americans saw the last of those last week. They are not expected to see those anymore unless the Build Back Better legislation passes. But the White House has said it can't foresee a situation in which even that would pass standalone, or that the president would support that standalone unless Congress finds a way to pay for that.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Francesca Chambers from McClatchy, looking at some of the big stories in national politics, including Build Back Better. Still not done yet, but maybe not done for yet. Still time for your thoughts on that at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Back to your calls now. Jimmy is with us in Valley Junction. Jimmy, hi.
Hello. Yeah, it seems to me that they had made a deal with the liberal part of the Democratic Party to pass this after they did the infrastructure. It looks like they're kind of going back on that. And I guess my other comment would be the Dems, they need to start playing hardball. So there's a big defense bill sitting on Biden's desk, $800 billion authorization. He should just say, well, you know, if we don't get anything on the Build Back Better, maybe I won't sign this. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Jimmy, thanks for calling in. Francesca, the first point first, there was a long delay over, are we going to pass infrastructure and this one at the same time? Who goes first? What ended up happening? How did that shake out?
Well, the reason that infrastructure ended up passing the bipartisan law is because President Biden assured progressives that he could get 50 votes in the United States Senate, which is how many Democrats plus independents who caucus with the Democrats that there are, that he could get the votes for the Build Back Better legislation that includes more of the progressives' priorities. And so you heard progressive leaders in the House this week say that that is part of the reason. I mean, it's not the entire reason that they went forward with this before they got the vote that they wanted on Build Back Better. So that's where some of the tension is coming from. And you did hear Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez say that she wanted Democratic leaders. She felt that President Biden had made that pledge and that they needed to fulfill it.
And then the idea of sort of holding the National Defense Authorization Act, I guess, hostage to get this thing passed. Politically, I can't really imagine a president doing that. Can you?
Not something that I've specifically heard floated around the White House.
All right. Thanks again for calling in, Jimmy, at 800-642-1234. We heard Senator Manchin on a West Virginia radio interview on Sunday kind of point the finger at not President Biden, but White House staff. President Biden has talked about his personal relationship with Senator Manchin. Is that where this is going next, do you think? Biden, Manchin talking, you're not face-to-face, phone-to-phone?
Well, we might not know when that happens, because after the most recent incident, the White House says it's not going to disclose anymore when President Biden and Joe Manchin have those conversations. So we may know about them sometimes. Senator Manchin sometimes talks about them to reporters on Capitol Hill. But at the same time, we may not know if those conversations take place based on what the White House is saying now.
Well, absent that information, Francesca, before we move on from Build Back Better, what are you watching for next?
Well, when the Senate returns in session, Leader Schumer says that they will be having a vote on this legislation, that they will be having votes on voting rights legislation, and that if it doesn't pass, then they will move forward from that and they will continue voting until they get the president's agenda passed. This is at the request of Bernie Sanders and other Democrats who just wanted to see a vote on this. They wanted to see Senator Manchin have to explain on the floor why he's against certain provisions. And so now Democratic leader Schumer says that's what they're going to do when they come back.
On a lighter note, Francesca, a personnel shakeup in the West Wing when it comes to canine personnel and the pets there. What's going on?
Yes, out with the old and in with the new. President Biden is sending his pet Major, the dog, to go live with another family after a series of biting incidents that took place in behavioral training. The first family now says that Major will be moving in with family friends, and he has a new pup named Commander who's joining them at the White House. And in the new year, the White House says that they'll finally be getting that cat that they've been talking about for so long. We know it's a female, but we don't know what the name yet is of the White House cat.
And finally, Francesca, this will be the last time we talk to you in 2021. It's been a big year, lots of stories going on. What are some of the big themes, the big issues you're going to be watching for come 2022?
Well, I hate to start talking about the 2022 midterms when we're already in 2021. I'm sorry. But it will be the big story nationally of the year. Who comes out on top in the Senate. What's that mean for the president's agenda? Do Democrats get more seats as they say that they need in order to pass more of his agenda? Or do we see Republicans take back control of the United States Senate again, which would essentially assure that none of the president's agenda gets done after those 2022 midterm elections? And of course, please don't hate me, we're all looking towards 2024 as well, but I'm sure we'll talk about that more another day.
And will your eyes be here on Wisconsin when it comes to a key Senate race that will be part of shaping that control?
Absolutely. In Wisconsin, that would be a key race that if it were to flip from Republican, it's currently held, of course, by Ron Johnson, to Democrat, that would alone give Democrats 51 votes in the United States Senate. And then Vice President Harris would no longer have to act as tiebreaker. So also a key race, one of the top in the country for sure.
Francesca, as always, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Have a happy holiday.
You too. Francesca Chambers is a White House correspondent at McClatchy. She was with us for a look at the week in Washington.